welcome to the Ted Brower Show with Ted Brower and Austin Brower, my co-host on this wild show that we do 6 days a week trying to figure out how to fix the planet, which is kind of interesting because it seems as though the planet keeps getting worse. So at least rather telling folks the truth. We're going to cover some of that today. And I also want to start with a scripture today. And Austin, good to have you with me.
Yes, sir. It's good to be on.
And this is one of my favorite verses out of Matthew. And it's Matthew verse, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is life not important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about life, about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And see, guys, I want to share that scripture with you today because, you know, as we come into this new week with the death of a Supreme Court justice that we're going to talk about in depth today, and we talk about the things that are happening globally, always remember, this holographic universe that we're in, this is a temporary thing. I mean, we're not a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. We're a spiritual being undergoing a physical existence for a few years in the hologram here. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we've been tied to him, it doesn't really matter who wins the race because we've already won the race by accepting Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about the news today, but keep your hearts and your minds in a positive mode and realize this. Who by worrying can add a single moment to his life? God's in control. Prayer changes things. Pray for God's protection and his divine wisdom and guidance. And don't make silly mistakes or do silly things. And just try to make sense out of your life in some way like that. Because I tell you what, guys, when you worry and you stress out, you elevate cortisol. That's the stress hormone. It makes you gain belly fat, number one. Number two, it causes you to get atherosclerotic plaquing. Number three, it decreases digestive enzymes in your body to allow you to digest your nutrients properly. Number four, that lack of nutrients actually end up massively increasing your risks of heart disease and cancer and pretty much every other type of disease known to man. Stress and worry are two of the worst things that you can do to yourself. I remember years ago I did a seminar at Carpenter's Home Church, and I'd always have 40 or 50 people in attendance every Wednesday night for 40, I think it was 4 or 5 years, like 30 years ago. And the one week I announced that I was doing a stress management seminar on WCIE, which was the flagship radio station, and I bet we had 300 people show up that night. We had the room packed out. We could get more and more and more shares because everybody wanted to know how to manage stress. Well, the truth of the matter with stress is you got to pray. You got to leave it up to God, and you've got to take supplements, especially the B vitamins, the 5-hydroxy-L-tryptophan, the cod liver oil. All of those things really, really help your moods, and they really, really work well. Let's talk about Anthony Scalia first, and let's find out. Let's talk about how he was found in his hotel room with a pillow over his head. Now, this is an interesting email that I got from a former federal prosecutor. And I thought this was very, very good. This woman was a federal prosecutor for years and years and years and has seen pretty much every type of horrific crime that money could see or money, power could buy or people could do. And she basically said, pillow over the head equals message sent to all others working in the Supreme Court, Solicitor Generals, Office and Department of Justice, ? And of course, anyone else in Congress who is not already blackmailable, both of them, ha-ha. Scalia had 9 children. Their careers could fall into a ditch if they protest the lack of investigation. Isn't that thoughtful, Austin?
That's really interesting. I know just from what I've read from it yesterday and today, that whole situation's very weird. I know that they said the officials, the one lady, Supreme Court Justice, when they were found dead, a county judge headed over there, and like 30 minutes out, they said that a U.S. Marshal called her on the phone and said, it's not necessary for you to come. if you're asking for an autopsy, that's what we need to clarify. And then the judge basically said, well, we need to clarify the details of the death before deciding whether to order autopsy. As part of my investigation, one of the things I did was ask the sheriff and the U.S. Marshal, were there any signs of foul play? And they said, absolutely not. What's interesting to me is for just somebody to come up on the scene and all of a sudden start stating, well, no foul play happened, you don't need to do an autopsy. When you're dealing with a Supreme Court judge like this and you're just automatically going to go off the cuff and say, nope, no foul play, nothing to see here, don't even need to do an autopsy, just keep walking, that right there should be a big, fat red flag to tell everybody, hey, there was definitely something going on here that they don't want you knowing about.
Well, what they should have done is just do another fake autopsy like they do and say, you know, he will be autopsied immediately so the coroner can determine the cause of death. Remember, JFK was whisked away back to Washington, D.C. so they could use the coroner of choice so they could make sure they gave a false autopsy with John F. Kennedy. And if you watch the video, JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. They go into detail on who did the autopsy, how the autopsy was faked, who was involved in the faking of the autopsy, and why the body was so quickly moved. Again, the name of that video on YouTube is JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. And that's why when Jackie Kennedy, saw the body, she said, "That's not my husband." But I won't go any further into what he says and what he basically assumes in that email. But you are in that video. You guys need to watch it. It's well worth the time. It may have taken a couple nights to watch it. So instead of watching TV for a couple nights, watch that because it's like 3.5 hours long. It's the longest video that I've ever watched in one sitting. I actually sat down on the couch, started watching it, couldn't shut the silly thing off, watched it for 3.5 hours. It was like watching two movies back to back. And it was that good of a video. It has, oh gosh, it's got millions of views now. Here's another interesting letter that came in from one of the listeners of our show up in Canada today, Austin. And I responded to him by telling him it was a very nice email. Thank you for responding to it. And what I had done is I had sent out a disclaimer. I have a private list that I send out to about 100 folks. They get a bunch of emails and a lot of the stuff that we cover on the show every day, you know, documenting all the information on the show. But I can't really send out more than 100 of those at a time, so I only have like 100 people on that list. And so it was kind of interesting. Here's what he responded to me by saying about the show that you and I do. "Hi, Ted. Thanks for adding me to your list, and thanks for all the work and research, voicing what so many in power would otherwise like to have kept silent. Why do I and so many other listeners listen to your show daily? I'm 32 years old. I have a wife and two young boys. I understand the spiritual climate we live in today, the economic deterioration of our continent, and overall evil agenda to cripple humanity through so many different avenues, if we allow it. Your show and the emails that you send out give me knowledge and truth. They reaffirm to my own take on everything that is happening around us. They aid in my ability to prepare, plan, and predict turbulent times before they happen. And as for this, I am grateful. I am so over spineless political correctness, tolerance, and ignorance. Canada is no different. I share your frustration and encourage you never to apologize for others' inability to discern for themselves the validity of everything you share. We are all in this together, and as Christians, we should put on our big boy pants, and we need to toughen up. The last thing this world needs is a soft Christian who get offended as a leader such as yourself saying the word crap, and we wonder why people can't relate so much to North American Christianity. It's because it's weak. We don't understand the spiritual tools we should be using. We don't understand, and we don't understand God, and we don't understand what we are up against and the roles that we should be assuming to stop it. At least you have the backbone to do something to awaken people to the truth of our situation. So from Canada, thank you." You know, and he goes on to say, and he says, "Go Trump. Those other spineless weasels are like 1% milk. Trump is like whiskey." He goes, "Trump is like whiskey, straight up. I believe he's America's only shot. Thanks again." And thanks for that letter, by the way. I really appreciate when you guys send me letters like that. It really encourages us to continue to do what we've been doing and to continue to promote the truth. Because I'll be honest with you guys, I get a lot of flack for this stuff. And I get a lot of, you know, positive emails, and I get some not so positive emails. And you guys already know the massive amount of condemnation that I took last year, because I had used a word correctly, but it had different meanings to it, and I actually had to issue a public retraction and apology on it. And the sad part about it is the entire amount of energy and effort that was spent on that is ridiculous when you think about the fact that we're being sprayed with chemtrails every day, We're being poisoned every day with modified GMO foods. We're being poisoned every day with fluoride. We're being poisoned every day with immunizations. And here I am trying to be a voice of the truth, though not perfect. And if you're looking for a perfect radio host, it won't be me. And I'm doing the best I possibly can. And somebody wants to take a shot at me for using a word like I did incorrectly, even though the definition had four meanings and I used one of the correct definitions. So the sad part about it is there's people out in the field that are doing what they need to do. And there's people out in the field who are criticizing those who are trying to do their best. And guys, I'm going to stand for the guys who are doing their best. I mean, I remember that. I know that debate with Trump on Friday or Saturday night, whenever it was, that was brutal. That was hard to watch. But the problem is Trump had had enough of Cruz lying and Bush lying and Rubio lying. And he straight called out Cruz and Bush for lying. And he called them liars right on national TV. And I'll be honest with you, I was thinking that Trump was going to knock Cruz upside the head. It got that heated, Austin. And it's sad because the whole point is, you know, he's telling the truth. And then he straight told the whole audience what Cruz had done to Ben Carson in Iowa with robocalls telling everybody that Ben Carson had dropped out of the race and the vote for Cruz. I mean, complete and total filthy politics. And if any of you like Ted Cruz after what he did in Iowa, shame on you. I mean, gosh almighty, I mean, how bad of a liar and a thief does this guy have to be, and you guys still want to support him? And he claims to be a Christian, and many of you evangelicals want to support him because he claims to be a Christian. You have no idea what his values are. Anybody can claim anything, Austin, but his actions are speaking a lot louder than his words as far as I'm concerned with all the nonsense that he did in Iowa. What do you think, son?
That's interesting. I didn't see that on Friday. I'll definitely have to go back and rewatch that. But it's exactly right. It's like what Mr. Root talked about, I think, on Wednesday when we had him on, is that these guys say all this big talk, big shot talk before they get elected. They get elected, they go up there, and the first thing they do is the complete opposite of everything. He said that happened out in Las Vegas, out in Nevada, the state of Nevada. They elected, like, all Republicans, all got them into office, Then they did absolutely nothing. They were supposed to do a bunch of tax cuts, all kinds of different stuff. Then they completely went against it and went, you know, the opposite direction. And what we've discussed before, and what he's also discussed, is these guys get blackmailed because they have so much dirt on them. They're into so much weird stuff. Once they get up into Congress and they start getting up there, then they just get dirt on them and then they just blackmail them. And that's exactly what happens. And I don't think Rubio or Cruz or any of those guys are going to be any different. The one thing that I like that Root said about Trump is that he really can't be blackmailed. He's already been in the media for the last 20, 30, 40 years. There's nothing that anybody doesn't really know about him.
Well, either you like him or you don't. Let's go back to the Zika virus. I mean, this thing's not dying. You know, I try to put a nail in the coffin of the Zika virus. Guys, trust me, it's another hoax. It's to promote medical tyranny. This is an article out of Health Impact News, and it's a great article on it, and it goes into detail, and it says, do you remember the Ebola Zaire? No. And it's the same name of, it's not the name of a former African political leader or a five-star island resort of the coast of Africa. It was the name of the viral menace that the World Health Organization warned us in the late summer of 2014 may decimate the world population. This goes on about the swine flu, about the Ebola. 18 months later, we're facing this. This is obfuscation. This is obfuscation to cover up the death of a Supreme Court justice. This is obfuscation to cover up the complete and total fake electoral process we have. This is obfuscation to try to cover up the fact that they're trying to start World War III with Russia. All of this is it's bread and circus and for the masses to keep them sedated, to make them think about something besides the reality and the truth of what's going on. Zika is not real. It's being caused by pesticides and herbicides that are being sprayed on crops and most likely from immunizations that are being given to these children. I have covered this at length 2 weeks ago with John Rappaport. So if you want to hear the show on that, go back and listen to the show. But don't get yourself into a knot over Zika. It's just more and more and more lies. Next story is the Republican National Committees are under fire after debate audience stacking. Local GOP chairman confirms that party donors get debate tickets and other people are excluded. Well, here's the deal. If the party donors, Austin, are getting debate tickets and Trump doesn't have any donors because he's funding his own campaign, he has nobody in there to support him, and that's why he's getting all these boos and all these heckles. Unbelievable. Again, more filthy, dirty GOP politics. I mean, the Democrats are just as bad, but I mean, every time Trump would say something, boo, you know, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. Cruz would say something, he'd have yells in support, and Rubio, all of them. But Trump, boo, boo, boo. I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. You would think that he'd have nobody at his rallies, but when Trump had a rally down here in Tampa last week, he had 11,000 people show up for the rally who got in, and another 10,000 who's had to stand outside who couldn't get in. These are the kind of numbers that Trump is getting. When Cruz and Rubio have a rally, maybe they may get 50, 60, 100 people show up. That's it. Hillary may get 10 people to show up. And that's why they never show the crowd. They never show the crowd. Because, again, it's bread and circus. It's all lies. I remember years ago, I was out of the Crystal Cathedral. They're all out of business now. And out there with Robert Shuler, and they'd asked me to be on one of their shows. And I was watching them do the editing and the cutting together and all that of the show. And I talked to one of the head guys in the back, and they had had Colin Powell there a few weeks earlier. And Colin Powell had like six standing ovations for the comments that he made during his presentation at the Crystal Cathedral. When I asked them about that, the producer at the Crystal Cathedral started laughing. And I said, well, why are you laughing? He goes, he didn't have a single standing ovation. We took crowd shots of people having giving standing ovations to other speakers, and we spliced them into the final edit, and we aired it on TV. Now, do you hear what I just said, Austin?
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Colin Powell had no standing ovations, okay? They used other crowd shots from other speakers, and they spliced it in and gave Colin Powell standing ovations in the final edit. And it was funny because I had to pay my own expenses out there, my own hotel, all of it. All was on Ted Brewer's pocket again. That's how they like to do things. And I get out there, and I was there with Robert Shuler's son, by the way, who's a very nice guy. Don't care for Robert Shuler, may he rest in peace at all, the one who died. I mean, I'm not going to tell you why, because may he rest in peace, because I know him personally. And you remember what he did to us, Austin. You remember, you were there. You remember what they did to us through Robert Shuler when we were in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, up there where the Green Bay Packers play. You remember what happened. I'm just going to tell you what happened. Doggone, I'm not going to tell you what happened. I was on the seminar circuit. We had about 20,000 people coming to a huge event in Milwaukee up there with Green Bay. Actually, we were flying into Green Bay, Wisconsin. We flew into that area. It was a huge event that had the biggest venue in town. And we had like me and Bush and Schwarzkopf and a bunch of people, and Robert Shuler were all speakers. We got there, and there are no taxis at the Green Bay, Wisconsin airport. This is the true story. God, and Austin, you were there. I never make anything up. And so we couldn't get a taxi. We had to call a taxi to show up. All of a sudden, this big triple stretch limo pulls up, this huge limo pulls up, and it's Lana Powell, who's the person who's in charge of she's the liaison for the speakers. And I said to her, we're sitting out on the doggone suitcases waiting for, it was me, Sharon, and Austin. We're sitting on the suitcases waiting for a pickup. And we turn around, and this beautiful limo pulls up to pick up Robert Shuler. And I'll never forget this. I said, Lana, I'm so glad you're here. Can I ride to the airport? Can I ride to the hotel where the rest of the speakers are staying in the limo? She goes, well, we sent this limo for Robert Shuler. And I said, okay, well, that's nice. Well, can we ride in the limo with Robert Shuler? Holds like 12 people. She goes, well, I don't know. I have to ask him. He shows up, and he tells us to take a taxi and tells her nobody else rides in his limo. Do you remember that, Austin, or were you too young?
No, I was pretty young. I still remember all that incident, though. It was pretty irritating, actually.
Well, no, but now that was Robert Shuler. May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace, okay? But, I mean, I could tell you some more things about him that I'm not going to. But that incident happened to us in Green Bay, Wisconsin, back in the 90s when I was on the circuit with him. So I've got very little nice things to say about the guy, and so I'm going to stop there. So the point is, the Crystal Cathedral completely and totally edited everything they put out on the one he was talking to me about. Now, whether they did that any more than that, I don't know. But, and then on top of that, I did the top 10 foods never to eat to the audience. And I talked about health, nutrition, I talked about ADD, I talked about autism, I talked about all of this 20 years ago and the ongoing medical problems that we were having, and they refused to air the show. So they wouldn't even air it nationally. It never got aired. And I thought to myself, how ridiculous that is, because that's what happens when you do taped presentations. If they don't want to air it, they don't want to air it, because they didn't want to offend the quote-unquote establishment of the people that were out there who were, quote, medical personnel who didn't agree with my values or my opinions of what I was saying about why we were having this massive onslaught of ADD and autism and how I linked it all back to diet, nutrition, immunizations. And back then it wasn't as big a problem with the GMO food, so we really didn't talk about that. But anyhow, so that's my little story with that. But the RNC is under debate. So when you stack audiences, I know how that works, and I don't like it. Got another article. Maryland deputy shot and killed in a gun-free Panera Bread. Okay, Panera Bread apparently has told them nationwide that it is a gun-free zone, and a Harford County Sheriff's deputy was shot and killed inside an Abington, Maryland Panera Bread restaurant on February the 10th, despite the fact that Panera Bread is a gun-free zone. It goes right back to what we've talked about over and over, and Breitbart reported this, Austin, is that if you have a gun-free zone, the only person that does not have a gun is a law-abiding citizen. The criminals don't listen. What do you think, son?
Oh, you're spot on with that. Where we live, it's not too prevalent as far as gun-free zones, but I know a couple of years ago when Lana, my wife and I, went down to Miami, went down there for a couple of days vacation, and went to the beach and relaxed, wanted to go see a movie, and I remember we went to this real big movie theater down there in Miami. There's this big decal on the window of the door when you walk in. It's probably about 6 by 6 inches big, maybe a little bit bigger, and it has a gun, and then it has a big circle, and then, you know, a line through it. And said, this is a gun-free property. No weapons concealed legally or illegally allowed on premises. Big, bold letters on it. Somebody said that, so to speak. And I remember I had my Glock 19 concealed on me, as I always do, especially when I go to Miami. You guys live in Miami, you know exactly why I carry down there. And Lana kind of points at it, and she's like, you know, you got your pistol with you. You don't want to go put it back in the truck? I said, absolutely not. I said, I'll go in the movies, we'll watch a movie, and then we'll leave. I said, I'm not putting my gun in the truck. I said, A, if my truck is broken into, I'm not losing my pistol. B, I'm not going inside of a building that says it's a gun-free zone and not carrying a gun with me. I said, that's like walking into basically the wrong side of a shooting range and expecting not to get shot. It's ridiculous. Why would you possibly go into a building that says gun-free zone, you're not allowed to carry a firearm, and not bring your firearm with you? Laws aside, I could care less, guys. You have to do what's best for you, your wife, your safety of your family. If you're a law-abiding citizen and something happens, there's a shootout, and you have to draw your firearm and defend your family, I promise you, you're probably going to get arrested, you're probably going to go to jail, but I can guarantee you with a good constitutional lawyer attorney, all those charges are going to get dropped as long as you weren't an idiot and you shot somebody in the butt with a negligent discharge because your finger was on the trigger when it shouldn't have been. That's why I tell you over and over again, you need to train, you need to practice, you need to shoot on a regular basis. Don't go to the shooting range one time a year and shoot 2 mags and think you're some combat proficient SEAL, because you're not. You need to train at least 3, 4, 5 times a year on a regular basis with combat training and learn how to operate in a high-risk, high-profile scenario like that and understand your backdrops and not shooting people. But yes, absolutely not. I'm not surprised. I feel bad for the officer that I guess he didn't have his firearm with him when he was in Panera Bread. But it doesn't matter. I've gone into other places before, and I still always carry my firearm. It doesn't really matter.
Well, he may have been in uniform, Austin. He may have had, confronted a criminal, and there was nobody else to back up the officer. And now here's the other thing, too, guys. I realize that people have personal, private property rights, and they have the right to tell you not to go into a theater, and you could be thrown out of the theater if you have a weapon with you. I got all of that. But think about what happened to that theater out in Aurora, Colorado. If you believe the entire story out there, what, 3 or 4, 5 years ago, whenever it was now, and there was another gun-free zone, no guns allowed. Went into the theater, the guys walked in, and I don't believe it was one guy for 1 second. I don't even that whole story reeks. And the problem is that it was a gun-free zone. That's why almost all of these shootings take place in gun-free zones. It's like our local sheriff, who's incredible, nice guy, who's a total constitutional advocate, Grady Judd here in Central Florida. He says, you break into somebody's house in Polk County, you're going to get shot. Okay, that's just what it is. We don't put up with that mess down here. Like pretty much every single person that I know, I mean literally everybody that I know that are friends of mine, all of them, everybody has weapons. I mean, that's just what we do here in Central Florida. I mean, we live in a very rural part of the state. I mean, you know, we got like 3 red lights in our town. That's it. I mean, I don't want to be in some big massive city, especially if the stuff hits the fan and starts going bad. I covered this last night with Sharon, but I want to cover this again. This is from the National Review, from Australia's National Review, and it says, lead developer of HPV vaccine comes clean and warns parents and young girls it's all a deadly giant scam. Now, I'm going to read you part of this because this is really important, because now they're making this HPV vaccine all the way down to 9 years old with the Gardasil shots. Dr. Diane Harper was a leading expert responsible for the phase two and phase three safety and effectiveness studies which secured the approval of the HPV vaccines Gardasil and Cervarix. Dr. Harper had also authored many of the published scholarly papers about the vaccine. She is now the latest in a long string of experts who are pressing the red alert button on the devastating consequences and irrelevancy of these vaccines. Dr. Parker, get this, listen to me for a second. Dr. Parker made her surprising confession at the 4th International Conference on Vaccination, which took place in Reston, Virginia. Her speech, which was originally intended to promote the benefits of the vaccines, took a 180-degree turn when she chose instead to clean her conscience about the deadly vaccines so she could sleep at night, quote-unquote. The following is an excerpt from the story of Dr. Sarah Kane. And from a story by Sarah Kane about Dr. Harper. Dr. Harper explained in her presentation that the cervical cancer risk in the U.S. was already extremely low. All trials of the vaccines were done on children ages 15 and above, never any younger. At the time of writing, 44 girls are officially known to have died from these vaccines. Reported side effects include Guillain-Barre, paralysis lasting for years or permanently, sometimes eventually causing suffocation, lupus, seizures, blood clots, and brain inflammation. Parents are usually not made aware of these risks. Dr. Harper, the vaccine developer, claimed that she was speaking out so that she may finally be able to sleep at night. About 8 in every 10 women who have been sexually active will have HPV at some stage of their life, Harper says. Normally there are no symptoms. And then listen to this, 98% of the cases, the HPV clears itself from the body with no side effects. But in those cases where it doesn't, which is 2%, and it isn't treated, it can lead to precancerous cells, which may develop into cervical cancer. She just said that 98% of the people never have this problem, even if they get the problem, it clears itself. I mean, this is just crazy. I was reading this entire article, and well, here's some of the statistics. Adverse effects reported, 27,000. These are the ones supported, just reported. Emergency room visits, almost 10,000. Hospitalized, almost 3,000. Life-threatening, 522. Did not recover from the vaccine, 5,529. 900 disabled. These are just numbers that we're getting from the people who have actually told the truth about what's happening. Usually it's like 1% tell the truth. This is a huge, massive debacle. We have talked about it over and over and over again, and it's one of the primary causes. Listen to me. It's one of the primary causes. So many of these young girls, when they get married, when they're 18, 19, 20, 25 years old, they can't get pregnant. It causes infertility. On top of everything else, it makes you sterile and almost impossible to get pregnant. So with so many of these girls, again, I consider this to be part of the globalist eugenicist program of extracting the last little bit of wealth they can out of the West and also sterilizing us all. Okay, I'm getting all upset. Awesome. What's your next story?
Well, no, it's spot on. So we did that article a couple weeks ago, and they came out now and said there's a direct link between, I think it's called the early menopause syndrome or something like that, but it's exactly what it does. It makes these girls that are teenagers, preteens, early 20s, basically to go into menopause early as far as the eggs are dropped. So there's nothing left. They literally can't get pregnant in their early 20s, and it's directly related to this vaccine. This is another one right here. I mean, this is on the flu vaccine, which right now is the most dangerous vaccine in America, as more awards for damages due to injuries and deaths related to the flu vaccine are issued each year via vaccine court than all other vaccines combined. Now, we just told you how bad the HPV virus is and all the issues that are happening with that. The flu virus is even worse. And this is pretty sad. This is in Tampa, about 45 minutes west from us. The news actually covered it. A 9-year-old girl now has become almost completely paralyzed from the neck down the day after she got her flu vaccine. On November 20th, 2013, this is about 2 years ago now, they're discussing it again. Her parents took her to the doctor where she received her annual flu shot. Basically, her mom put her to bed that night, checked on her. Next morning, never made it out of bed, tried to go in there. She had her eyes open, but she couldn't move. Now the daughter basically can speak 10 words, including mommy and daddy. That's it. She's paralyzed from the neck down. She's having to be fed through a tube and wears a diaper. And then this is just one single incident this reported by the mainstream media. This happens on a regular basis, and it's never reported due to a flu vaccine adverse effect or a Gardasil vaccine effect, as Dad just said, because a lot of times this stuff happens days, weeks, sometimes months later on down the road, and people cannot specifically correlate the two back to back. This one just happened to happen the next morning after she got her flu shot, so it's directly linked to having this. But just do yourself a favor, guys. Don't take my word. Don't take Dad's word for it. Go do your own research on it. Read these articles. Read the reviews. Read the news. See what this stuff really does and if it's necessary. Like he said, the HPV vaccine, or the HPV virus in general, clears up in 98% of individuals. We have a product, and I'm not claiming this does anything. It's just a natural supplement. It's called Virographis. The product specifically designed to help increase the immune system naturally. That's what it's for, to boost the immune system and help deter off any type of virus infection. Look it up on our website. If you're interested in it, read about it. It's a great product for keeping the immune system strong. That's something I would recommend looking into before you start pumping your child full of massive vaccines that have all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of side effects like we just discussed.
What happens, Austin, and I covered this story last night with your mom, this girl in Tampa actually spoke two languages fluently before she had that shot. And,
oh, wow.
And apparently she, and see, here's the thing is, when you inject these kids or adults, especially with these young children, especially with infants, and you inject them with these vaccines that contain all types of foreign proteins, including aborted fetal cells, okay? I mean, we've covered this at length before on the show. And then for some reason, there's a huge increase in the amount of NAGLase that becomes pregnant in the body. Now, we don't know where this is coming from. This is secreted by virus cells and by cancer cells. And this NAGLase strips the macrophages of the body's, we call them, they're basically vacuum cleaners. They clean all the junk out of the body. They kill cancer cells. They kill viruses. These macrophages are part of the white blood cell system. And these macrophages have two sugar molecules that hang on the bottom of them. So you got a vacuum cleaner with two adapters on the bottom. And the sugar molecules attach to vitamin D as in dog 3. We talk about that D is all so important. The problem is the macrophages, when they get in the presence of NAGLase, the sugar is stripped off the bottom of this macrophage. And when that happens is that macrophage signals to the other macrophages through the use and the release of what's called a cytokine, which is a chemical messenger. And it tells the other macrophages to come clean up this mess that's here because it's poisoning the body. The problem is that the other macrophages have also been rendered useless because the sugar has been stripped off by the NAGLase. You have this huge cytokine storm. And that storm goes throughout the whole body, sending out these chemical messengers, which cause massive inflammation and brain inflammation, causing the brain to press against the skull, causing extreme pain in the infants and in the children who experience this. It's called the encephalitic scream. And what that does, it causes brain damage. And so when these kids get these vaccines, and I've seen it one time in a child in which I had begged the parents not to immunize the child, and they did, and that child has had nothing but learning disabilities all of its life now because of that. The little girl's like 16 years old now, and bless her heart, she would have been really, really, really smart, but she's not. She's had to have special tutors and everything else because of this brain inflammation she had when she was like 4 or 5 years old. So parents, listen to me for a second. Don't believe anything I'm telling you about this. You know, I mean, I've worked with thousands and thousands of patients, but don't believe me. Look it up. I look up Dr. Mendelsohn's book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic, or Dr. Mendelsohn's book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician, and look at all the stuff he did. Another article he wrote called Vaccine Roulette, which we posted on our website. Read all of this stuff. Read hundreds of articles before you take a chance with your child. I remember, Austin, years ago when you were going to go into the military, you'd not been vaccinated except for that one tetanus shot. We'd go to a camp, which I have regretted ever since we did that. And I remember I told you, I said, Austin, if you go into the military, into the Marine Corps, they're going to vaccinate you. And then they told you they would give you an exemption, but you would never be allowed to go into an active combat theater. Remember that?
Yep.
Without the vaccines. And I said, that's what they're going to do to you. They'll use you for something else here stateside, but you're not going to be deployed because they won't allow you to do that without being fully vaccinated because that's their policy. The problem is, guys, when you take care of a child for 18 years, they decide to do stuff like this, that's their own choice. But until they're 18, it's your choice, and they're not supposed to be able to allow to give these kids an immunization without that. Now, let me just change. Oh, real quick. Healthmasters.com brings you the show. Healthmasters.com. I started the company 36 years ago. Great company. We sell the finest, highest quality supplements in the world. We have a bunch of different products you can look at online. We have a great newsletter that you can order for free that'll be sent to your inbox, you know, five or six times a week, four times a week, whatever it is. And so it's all free information when you go to the website. So please go over there and review the hundreds of articles that I've written and all of the articles that we referred to. Healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834. And thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And here's another article I want to cover. Crazy. The practice of female circumcision to be revived in the name of religion in Egypt. Now, this is interesting, Austin, and this is going on all over the world, and they're also doing this in Sweden with the girls when they go back into Egypt, when they go back to visit their families, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I don't even know how to say with this. What they do, they take a razor blade, and they remove the clitoris and the labia. These are the Muslims doing this. And they basically then, and many times they'll stitch the vagina together after they remove the labia and the clitoris, which causes all types of problems with childbirth, et cetera, and completely destroys any kind of sexual drive the woman's going to have. And it's complete and total butchery. This is what is going on in these Muslim countries in many cases. Now, some countries have banned it. Some countries are still doing it, but it's still done in the back alleys. This is the type of environment that these immigrants from Europe are coming from who are going into Germany. I mean, this is absolutely insanity, son, and I don't even know what to say about this, but this is what their culture is. It's being mixed now with the European culture to the point that now they're starting to ban these things and saying that you can't even do this in Sweden because these girls are coming back into Sweden and they've been mutilated like this. And think about this. You're mixing two completely different cultures together with the Muslims and the Christians. And then the Muslims, now then think about this, the Muslims hate the Jews. There are a lot of Jews in Europe, okay? If the Muslims are coming into Europe, then they're hating the Jews already, and they're already hating all the Christians already. You know, you're setting this whole thing up for this explosive powder keg, and this is not going to go well, and it has not gone well. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and now this is coming into the United States. The only reason we're not hearing about it is because our media has censored what's going on in the United States, because the media, for some reason, wants this to happen. It's almost as if the media has been completely taken over by the globalists and the communists. Oh, that's right. It has been. Oh, that's right. It has been. And the socialists and the fascists through the Rothschild banking cartels, and they want to destroy national sovereignty. And they want to create a one-world government and a one-world people in which there is no longer an ethnic group. The problem with that is these Muslim countries, they've been like this for tens of thousands of years, according to their research, the scholars, etc., if you believe in all of that stuff, how old the earth is. But the thing about it is, it's been ingrained in them for hundreds of, and thousands of years. And so if we think we're going to bring these people in and allow them to walk into Sweden, which has pretty much been taken over by the Muslims now, as has England, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, I've got another trip scheduled on a business thing to go over there in two months, and I'm very seriously considering not doing it because I don't know if it's worth the safety issues that are involved with being over there now. But again, I want to do some other stuff while I'm there. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens with all of it. Austin, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely... We already know, I mean, as far as what they're doing, and, I mean, we've discussed it in detail. Those two civilizations do not mesh. They have never meshed. They will never mesh. That's just the way it is. The one article that I thought was interesting today now is about Samsung. Now, Samsung makes TVs, and this is interesting. They make a lot of other stuff, too, but this article's on their TVs. They're 60, 70, 80-inch Samsungs. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah. Everybody always buys them all the time. I still have a Sony. It's like a 45-inch Sony. It's like 10 years old. It still works all right, so I haven't gotten a new one. After reading this, then I really want to make sure I do not get a Samsung TV or any of these new ones. Samsung has now confirmed that its smart TV sets are listening to customers' every word. The company is warning customers not to speak about personal information while near their TV sets. Now, we've talked about this before with the dishwashers, the microwaves, the washing machines, all that stuff now. This one, like, directly collects verbal data that's anywhere in the area and sends it to a third party. This is great. Listen to this. The company Samsung revealed that the voice activation feature on its smart TVs will capture all nearby conversations. The TV sets can share this information, including sensitive data, with Samsung as well as any third-party services. The news comes after Shane Harris, who's at the Daily Beast, pointed out this troubling line in Samsung's privacy, spoken words including personal or other sensitive information that will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party. And Samsung basically issued another statement clarifying this. They said, if a consumer consents and uses the voice recognition feature, voice data is provided to a third party during a requested voice command search. They said in the statement, at that time, the voice data is sent to a server which searches for the request content and then returns the desired content to the TV. The third party in question is called Nuance Communications or Nuance Communications. I just find this interesting now. You know, we've heard about it for years, but now it's coming to more prevalent. Now they're just blatantly telling you, your TV is going to listen to everything you say. So be extremely careful about sensitive data, any type of material you're discussing, when you have the voice feature on, which I don't believe that. I think they're using that as a cover of the voice recognition feature that's on the TVs. I think it stays on 24/7, and it doesn't even matter if you activate it or if you allow or give it consent to search for you. I think it stays on 24/7 because, quite frankly, why would I believe them when they're producing something like that and sending it to a third party in the first place?
Well, you know, think about this, Austin. I remember years ago I was having somebody work on my laptop, and I forgot who made the thing, but their service technician was over in India, and he logged into my laptop, and I watched my cursor move all over my laptop as he corrected and got stuff out of it. I mean, I watched him do that. I mean, if the TV set's linked to the internet, which we know that it is, they could just log into the TV set and turn on the voice recognition.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I mean, there's, you know, they could turn on your iPhones, they could turn on anything. They can just turn it on. They can plant all kinds of trash on your computer if they wanted to. They do that all the time too. And the sad part about this is you can't even turn some of these doggone things off. You can turn them off, but you can't take the batteries out of them. You can't even open them. That's why.
That's one reason too. Why I always tell people is be very, very careful with all these webcams everybody's using. I don't even have one here in the office. I know some people need to use them for work and stuff like that. Make sure, A, that it's off, which it doesn't really matter because you can remotely turn it on, but B, wherever it's facing, make sure it's not facing anything sensitive, and the best thing to do is throw a bag or throw a wrapper or throw a towel or throw something over it when you're not in town, because this has already come out repeatedly now. They've had hackers, they hack into these things, they turn them around, they spin them, and they see what's in your house. They scope out your office, they scope out your living room. Wherever these things are located, they can use them, and it's basically a little concealed surveillance camera, and they can watch everything that's going on. So be very careful that if you have one in a room that may have sensitive material or high-value items, make sure that thing stays covered on a regular basis unless you're needing to use it for a specific work element. Other than that, keep the thing covered up. It does not need to have an active port open all the time.
And remember, I covered the story last night. One of the top people in the government came clean and said that they can use all of this stuff to spy on you now in your house. So they don't even need warrants anymore to put wiretaps in. Because of the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, because of George Bush. But you remember, I'm going to stop here. It's not George Bush. It wasn't Bill Clinton. You know, George Bush, George H., the old Bush, he was probably involved with a lot of this stuff because of his ties back into the CIA. But it's the shadow government that pretty much runs the entire United States and pretty much the civilized world of the United States, as far as all of our satellite countries that we've overthrown using the CIA. It's so corrupt. Nothing is as you were told it was. I mean, everything's a lie. I mean, this rabbit hole runs so deep and so far down. The other day I sold a 2002 4Runner. And I had a really nice guy come over and buy it from me. His name's John. And I told him, I said, he started asking me questions. And I said, do you really want to know what's really going on? He goes, well, yeah. He goes, I check my emails every single day. And I said, well, this rabbit hole is deep. And it's got a lot of trails off everywhere. I said, it's really kind of crazy. I said, it all goes back down to black magic and Satanism. He's a Baptist, and so he believes in all that. And we're Baptists, and I told him, I said, well, the truth of the matter is it's really that messed up. And I said, it's not what you think it is. The entire thing is obfuscation. So when you see a Supreme Court justice die, and he has a pillow over his head, and the message has been sent. It's like, you know, sending somebody, remember the Godfather, when they sent him the guy's pants and fish? You don't remember, you remember that, Austin? And he goes, and he says he sleeps with the fish. Then nothing else had to be said. All of a sudden, Scalia shows up with a pillow over his head. Who sleeps with a stinking pillow over your head? Who does that? Who
could Especially breathe? At nighttime.
Yeah, who could breathe in a room with a pillow over your head? Well, that doesn't happen that way. Nobody has a pillow over their head. They don't do that. I mean, nobody does that. But all of a sudden, it was a message. And I believe that federal prosecutor who sent me that email, who said that, it was a message that was being sent to his family and other people. Hey, this could happen to you too. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Here's the pillow over the head. And see, that's what we have to understand, is that the entire country has been obfuscated. It went bankrupt in 33. The Exchange Stability Fund was started in 34, along with the seizure of the gold of the United States. It's been running, that extra money has been running a shadow government now in the United States, controlled primarily through the Rothschild Satanic Organization since 1934, actually since 1913 when they started running taking care of stealing our currency and the net worth of the country. In fact, Roosevelt actually had to pass executive orders to stop the bankers from seizing all of the family farms in bankruptcy court from the farms. I told you guys, it almost happened to my grandfather. He came over from Germany in the 1800s, and he had to break his farm up among his five children to stop the saw loss of the entire estate, because he couldn't afford to work the entire 500 to 1500 acres that he had accrued over a period of 20 or 30 years and maintain that with the amount of staff that he needed without breaking it up into sections. And that's what he did. And the craziest part about all of this is that's my father. My father never trusted bankers. My grandfather never trusted bankers. And my father, to the day he died, I remember talking to him back in 1984, just a few months before he died, and he said, "Son, be aware. Sooner or later, they're going to do just like they did with the Weimar Republic, and they're going to issue new money, and they're going to change the currency," and all the things he started telling me about. And I'm like, "Dad, what are you talking about? This all sounds like weird stuff to me." Because at that point in time, remember, I was only out of graduate school for a few years, and I really wasn't paying attention to the real world and the real world politics. The stuff that we're telling you on this show, and that so many of the other patriots are telling you on their show, is real. This stuff is real. This satanic cabal that rules the planet, this cult of the unseeing, all-seeing eye, they're real. They run Hollywood. They're programming your children. And again, I warned the audience last night, if you listen to the show, do not go see that new movie, Deadpool. I've read reviews on it, one of the most filthy, most disgusting, most vile movies you're ever going to watch. And again, that's Hollywood programming the youth culture to make them think that this is going to be funny and this is going to be all right. It's neither funny nor is it all right. It's absolute and total filth, and it's all designed to take us down the slippery slope of just collectivism, socialism, political correctness, etc., etc., etc. The sad part about all of this is the vast majority of the sheeple in the United States and in Canada and throughout the Western world are completely and totally asleep as to what's happening, including most of my relatives in Germany who have been basically beaten half to death with the World War II stuff for the last 70, 80 years when they had nothing to do with any of it, which has turned them all into a bunch of sheeple over there in Europe. That's the only reason that Merkel hasn't been thrown out of office yet. And remember, guys, you know, and Hitler said this, if you watch that movie, I forgot the name of the movie. It was a great movie that was done on the last days that he was in the bunker. And it shows, you know, how everybody died. It showed the last 3 or 4 weeks of his life. And it was interesting. He said that Germany was done because the genetics were done, because the people that were the leaders and the top people and the go-out-and-get-it-done people, they had all been killed. Because remember, a third of the population of that country was wiped out during World War II. And that's the truth. It really is. I mean, the fact that Europe and Germany continues to live in this tyranny, it's unbelievable to me that they've allowed this in Europe. And they're so politically correct in Europe, it's almost a joke. And, of course, we are too now in the United States. And Anthony Scalia was one of the final, last strongholds of the justices on the Supreme Court. In fact, he was, who was a strict constitutionalist, and he believed in the Bill of Rights and was going to be there to defend the Constitution. Remember, I mentioned this on last night's show. Several weeks ago, they were 5-4 against allowing Obama to continue shutting down the coal power plants, and he was one of the swing votes, and this is their agenda, is to cripple the United States infrastructure, and they did not want the Supreme Court doing that. We all have to write our congressmen and our senators not to approve another Supreme Court justice until the next president gets in. We have to do that. That's so very, very important. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this one's interesting. Speaking of all the courts and the judges, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Wisconsin now, is one of the state of Wisconsin. They just dealt a massive blow to the Fourth Amendment for their state, which you understand is supposed to protect citizens against unreasonable, unlawful search and seizure. What's interesting, though, is a newly appointed judge who was not even present when arguments were made in court has now been the final swing decision on this. They ruled that evidence seized in a person's private home during a warrantless search can be used against the person in an expanded view of the community caretaker clause. It all came about, a police went to a man named Charles Madison's house after his brother was found bloody at a nearby residence. Madison, admitting he fought with his brother, let the cops in. When they saw blood in his apartment, apparently they saw a couple cannabis buds on the counter. They wanted to look inside a locked room, and basically Mandelson refused to unlock it. He said, "You guys can't come in. You don't have a warrant. I'm letting you in my house right now. I'm asking you to leave. The situation's been resolved." They basically told him, "Absolutely not. We're in your house now." They broke the door down. It was deadbolted and another lock. Broke the door down and found a full cannabis growing setup. Bunch of pot plants. Basically, he was charged and arrested with manufacture of cannabis, and the courts of appeal had previously ruled this to be an unreasonable search and seizure. There was no lawful reason to be in his house. There was no search warrant. They couldn't use it. Well, they completely overturned that now and said that basically if a police officer enters your home, even without a search warrant, if he finds something that they deem illegal, paraphernalia, whatever it means, they can now charge you even without having a warrant. This is crazy in Wisconsin. The fact that this even went by is egregious to me. I really hope they're going to figure out some way in that state to overturn this. But with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I really don't even know how that works, if that can even get reverted back. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, no, it would have to go to the United States Supreme Court. And again, we're missing a conservative justice. See, liberalism at one time was all about people's rights and leaving people alone. I'm just telling you guys how it worked, okay? At one time, they really were, you know, leave the hippies alone, let them smoke the pot, let them do what they want to do, you know, just don't do all of this. You know, you had the ACLU, and anytime somebody's rights were, American Civil Liberties Union, anytime anyone's rights were violated, they went up and defended them, and all the liberals used them all the time. And now that the liberals are in charge of the United States, they're the worst fascists of the bunch. They've gotten so they're so out of control now, where they're so drunk in their own power standing with the United States, with the presidency now, after 8 years of this weirdness in the White House that Joan Rivers called out, that now they're basically saying that they want to force every single person in the United States under their fascist dictatorship rule as far as liberals, back under the super communist rule. I mean, it's so messed up, Austin. I mean, they started off actually making some good points back in the 60s. They really did. You know, peace, not love. They were all against the Republicans for going in, taking us to war, et cetera, against Nixon and everybody else and all this stuff. But now it's like it's been inverted, and the libertarians are the only ones out there discussing the rights of the individuals. And the Republicans and the Democrats have become the same party now to take away all of our collective rights as a country. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Here's another article. It's on taking a baby aspirin today, and it says it's a bad prescription for most. Now, I've written about this extensively in my emails and my newsletters that you can look at healthmasters.com. But they do it to reduce the risk of a heart attack. But did you know that the data shows this has zero clinical support? Absolutely no support whatsoever that this reduces the risks of heart attacks. And so that's why I wanted you guys to realize that this is just not healthy. I'm going to tell you why. Another reason it's so bad, too. Aspirin is a very, 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 very strong blood thinner. It allows the blood to basically not clot. Now, some studies have said that if you do have a heart attack and you chew up a couple of aspirin immediately after the heart attack or during the heart attack to thin the blood, it may help preventing damage to the heart muscle. But as far as a preventative basis, it doesn't work. Now, what's also interesting about this is this. It prevents the blood from clotting correctly. And behind the eyes in the retina, it can actually cause the retina to detach from the back of the eyeball. It's called wet macular degeneration. And a lot of people that I know that used to take these aspirins every single day have ended up coming down with macular degeneration and diseases of the eye. And plus, it can cause you to bleed internally. Aspirin is really harsh on the system. I'm not saying never use it, but you've got to use it in moderation, and you should never, ever, ever use it on a daily basis. It's just not healthy. I know me personally, Austin, if I take aspirin for 2 or 3 days in a row, because I've had back surgery several times. I don't talk about it on the air because it's just my back's doing great now. But if I take aspirin 2 or 3 days in a row, I start having cloudy vision and I don't see very well. And I've told people before, I said that if that's happening to you and you're taking aspirin every day, you might want to come off those aspirin and see if your vision starts clearing up, because it is one of the primary causes of wet macular degeneration. I recommend that nobody, absolutely nobody, takes an aspirin a day. If you want to thin your blood, take vitamin E, take cod liver oil, and increase the amount of water that you're drinking. You need to drink at least half your body weight in fluid ounces every single day of distilled water. That by itself will massively, massively thin your blood. The vast majority of the people, Austin, and you know this, are dehydrated in the United States, and their blood is too thick. It's called blood sludge or blood, yep, glue, blood glue. And so the doctors, rather than telling you to drink more water and change your lifestyle, they put you on blood thinners, which can be Coumadin, which is basically rat poison is what it is. So when you give rats decon or poison that contains Coumadin and they eat it, it makes them bleed out through their kidneys, and that's how they die. And that's how so many people in nursing homes die, including my own mother. She bled out because she was on blood thinners because they refused to give her adequate amounts of water every day, and she also refused to drink the water because she didn't want to drink it. So you've got to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces every single day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink at least 100 ounces of water a day. You really don't need more than that unless you're doing a lot of heavy outside work and you're sweating a lot. And then if you are sweating a lot and you are drinking a lot of distilled water, you could use some salted chicken broth every night to restore magnesium and potassium levels. Use our salt and get some organic chicken broth, and that'll really help to maintain electrolyte levels in the body. Don't use those sports beverages with all their artificial dyes and chemicals and artificial sweeteners. Those are horrible. You can make your own sports beverage by getting organic chicken broth and salting it with our salt every single night and taking a drink of that. It'll help to maintain proper electrolyte levels. What do you think about that, Austin?
Oh, yeah, you're spot on, because, I mean, I've heard that repeatedly from people. When they start taking a lot of aspirin, they start having blurred vision, and you just explained it spot on. And it's funny because the first question I ask people on the phone, every single time when they bring up they have high blood pressure, the first time, my question is always, how much water are you drinking and what is your body weight at? Because those two factors right there contribute tremendously. And most of the time, they're either slightly or moderately overweight, or at least almost all the time, they're drinking very little water. And a lot of times I'll ask people, I'm having like 3 to 4 glasses a day. Well, how much do you weigh? I weigh like 240 pounds. Are you kidding me? Your glasses better be like 30, 40-ounce glasses. And they're not. They're like 6 to 8-ounce glasses of water. So it's very, very important to keep your water intake high. There's another product we have, too. It doesn't have anything to do as far as electrolytes, but it makes a great sport beverage. We carry it here in the office and on the website. It's branched chain amino acids with L-glutamine. I love the compound. I use it all the time during my intra-workout training and my morning cardio. It provides the three basic amino acids, the leucine, isoleucine, and I think the L-valine, and then also L-glutamine, and it mixes really good. You can also throw some of the salt we have, the Natural Mind salt, a little bit of salt in there, along with those BCAAs and L-glutamine, and you have a perfect sports beverage without a bunch of garbage in it. It gives you really good amino acids and a really good intake of L-glutamine while you're working out or doing cardio.
Healthmasters.com is the website, healthmasters.com. Here's the final article I want to cover because I hear the music playing. I don't see the author for this, but it's from the New Observer, and it says, the extermination of the white people in Europe. We are the last 3 German children in our school. There are now only 3 German children left in the Jans-Nickel-Grundschule in Kreuzberg, Berlin, in the shocking demonstration of how Europe is being ethnically cleansed by third world immigration. 3 children left that are white people in the school in Berlin. Everyone else is Muslim. And you know, guys, here's the thing. If I was a Muslim, I'd be proud I was a Muslim. If I was black, I'd be proud I was black. If I'm white, which I am, I'm proud I'm white. I mean, so we can't be acting like we don't want to be who we are, because that's the way God made us. And we're losing our entire culture in Europe. So guys, pray for the United States. Pray for America. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
Thank you, guys. It's been awesome. You have a wonderful night. Have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.